The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome one, welcome all to the latest Blogging the Boys Roundtable. My name is RJ Ocho. You know me, of course, from all throughout the Blogging the Boys universe. It is Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. Central Time, which means we have a date. Blogging the Boys does with you. We stream these live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central Time on our YouTube channel, so you can participate along in the discussion. You can catch the rewatch at your own convenience. You can obviously listen to the podcast whenever you get a chance as well on the Blogging the Boys podcast network. Joining me this evening are contenders for tonight's roundtable crown. I have to put him, of course, in the prime spot. It is Mr. David Howman, our defending BTB roundtable winner. Congratulations to him. He has half of all BTB roundtable champion shares at this point in time. You can read him at bloggingtheboys.com. You can follow him and his snarkiness on Twitter at _DH44 with an underscore at the end. Joining us for the first time tonight, one of our newbies at Blogging the Boys. You know him on Twitter at Icebreaker21. A bit of a masquerading sort of effect it is. Brandon Clemens, who you can also read at bloggingtheboys.com. You can see everybody and hear everybody here again throughout all BTB parties. Brandon, thanks so much for joining us. Down in our bottom right, not quadrant, but kind of sector, is Tony Catalina, one of the biggest BTB roundtable losers in Blogging the Boys history. You can hear him every Monday on the First and 10 podcast on our network. Tony, best of luck tonight. I mean that in all seriousness. Also joining us for the first time tonight, you hear her every day on the Blogging the Boys podcast network on our Dallas Cowboys Daily Update show. It is another newbie around BTB. We're getting ready for the season, Jess Navarez. Jess, I start with you. Happy Brett Maher Day. I know it is something that you were celebrating in accordance. It was actually 1 year ago today that Brett Maher joined the New Orleans Saints, and obviously today that he rejoined the Dallas Cowboys.
Thank you for starting us off on that wonderful, wonderful note, RJ. I really appreciate it. Happy Brett Maher Day, and it's a day that will go down as something I celebrate. And obviously, if you know me, you know I'm being so sarcastic because I am on the team, not Brett Maher, anybody but Brett Maher, really. So. Yeah, I'm not doing good today. I'm not doing well. The neighbor had to come check on me. She had to make sure I was doing okay because I guess there was some screaming. Maybe I'm not going to confirm or deny, but I was a little.
I'm firmly in that camp with you, Jess. And Howman, Tony, we'll get to you in a second, since you kind of live at the other end of this spectrum. But Brandon, where do you fall on Brett Maher? We might as well jump right into it. A heads up, and Brandon, you kind of take the first charge here. There are winners every single roundtable, and the rules are very clear, very concise, and as Tony will vouch for, very straight up, black and white, not made up on the fly whatsoever. It's a little bit different than Who's Line in that sense. I will tabulate your point totals throughout the night. The listener and viewers that are with us live can award you a maximum of 5 points at a time. You can, of course, challenge one of your competitors to a duel. Howman won the inaugural BTB Roundtable duel last week against Tom Ryle. If we need to do that, we can explain those rules then. But so, Brandon, the points are up for grabs. Your thoughts on the Dallas Cowboys not only bringing Brett Maher back, but waving Jonathan Garibay in the process?
Well, here's the thing. Jonathan Garibay, he kicks, according to Todd Archer, 60% of his kicks made coming into before getting released today. So it's been a very shaky training camp for Garibay. I mean, Lareem's been he's been pretty darn good. I mean, I think it's 75% in comparison to Garibay. I mean, 75% is not great, but Lareem, it's just been, he's been the more consistent kicker, I guess. But I'm actually in the camp of I do like Brett Maher to a point because Maher looked really solid with the Saints last year. I'm just saying he kicked 88.9% of his kicks last year with the Saints, which, I mean, yes, his long was 42, so it wasn't like he was kicking from distance, but that's still a pretty darn good clip. I'm just saying. And then, I mean, the extra points, yes, that's a struggle, and he's 83.3, which isn't great, but I mean, we're getting, we're really bad right now. I mean, Lareem's not great. Garibay's not that great either. So I would, it's an upgrade.
Brandon, again, I'm just here to kind of, I'm an air traffic controller, just directing planes one way or another. I'm not here to offer any opinions. I believe Blue 365 offers up on channel. LOL, boo, man, again, not my words, but, the words of our loyal listeners. But, Brandon, you do get a point. I disagree with the assertion, so, but whatever. So you are out to an early lead. Halman, again, I know you are, at the way end of this spectrum, so we're wading into this pool. Tony, as I understand it, you and I had a bit of a back and forth on Twitter today. You're just kind of in the camp of, hey, Garibay's gone, and Brett Maher is sort of the physical manifestation of that idea, so I'm down with that. You explain yourself and how wrong you are.
My whole thing is it's the Garibay move had to be made. I think many speak in the same tone as me. If every day that Garibay was still there, it was just for what? It was stagnant. It wasn't going anywhere. He had his chances. He had his kicks. It didn't really go the way it was supposed to. It could have been any of the four kickers, and I would have been satisfied with the move. Now, this isn't saying that they set themselves up for success leading up to this point, because we know that they could have handled the situation better. I just think for this move in its entirety, it had to be done. So the fact that it is Maher, to me, is almost non-relevant. It just had to be someone else to come in and compete. And there's a realistic chance that he doesn't even beat Lareem out. So it's I'm not really too worried about it. You were one of the people that were big on Garibay coming in, having a chance to really change the kicking game for us. And it didn't really work out like that. And, you hate to see it happen like that, but that's kind of where I stand. I'm not a Maher fan. I'm not a Maher detractor, but at the same time, move had to be made and I'm not mad about it.
Calling me out on my own BS, Tony, 3 points for you. So good job in that respect. Halman, I'm making sure here because I don't want to, not be authentic. You have an article submitted for publishing at bloggingtheboys.com that is titled Brett Maher Might Actually Work Out This Time for the Cowboys. The floor is yours.
So I will clarify, first of all, that I'm not necessarily a Brett Maher truther. I was definitely anti-Brett Maher last time he played for us. However, my belief in that this might work out this time has more to do with the fact that, as opposed to the last time he was here, we have a really, really good special teams coordinator on our staff. Because before, when he was here, it was Keith O'Quinn, and he took over for Rich Bisaccia, and the special teams immediately dropped off in quality. That was also when Maher first started kicking. And of course, since John Fossil has been the special teams coordinator, we went from 30th in special teams DVOA to 7th and then to 6th this last year. I think he's proven throughout his entire career and in the 2 years he's been here in Dallas that he's a really good special teams coordinator, even if some people don't like how long he's stuck with Greg Zuerlein. But I look at Brett Maher, I see what we all saw was that he has a huge leg, which you can't really teach. And then as we've heard in New Orleans, he got a little bit better, got a little more accurate with his kicks. And now you bring him into Dallas, you bring him into John Fossil's camp and see what he can do with him. And I think he's got the leg strength. If he can continue that consistency that we saw in New Orleans, he could be something special. But again, he still has to win that kicking job, and we'll see where he goes from here.
So, Jess, I'll set you up like this. Halman, I will award you 4 points, A, for being our returning champion, and B, for at least having some data to support your notion that I disagree with. But still, 4 points nonetheless. I don't I mean, I think that John Fossil to Keith O'Quinn is sort of like Brett Maher to Jonathan Garibay. Like, the special teams unit in 2019 was a disaster. Like, anybody sort of like by, you know, just like transitive property was going to be better. I will agree with you that he obviously has improved the group, and a lot of that is his aggression, which has burned him at different times, not just in the obvious ways, but in ways that haven't come back to burn him, thankfully. But he was loyal to a fault to Greg Zuerlein, and they cut him this season. They wanted to bring him back. Reportedly, his first non-Greg Zuerlein move was to want to bring him back. So I just don't feel like this area of his expertise is maybe where he's most sharp at this particular point in time. I would offer, and you know, I've said this, and I think the general answer that any of you would say is that Jerry Jones just needs to stop talking. Jerry Jones said last Saturday, "I really want consistency in the extra point department." Okay, well, Greg Zuerlein, who we all agree was unfit to be this team's kicker, despite John Fossil's repeated insistence. To your point, Howman, Greg Zuerlein was a more successful extra point kicker than Brett Maher last season from a percentage standpoint. I recognize the sample size for Maher is not incredibly large. But so that feels a little bit hypocritical. But just maybe it is just a matter of like get somebody who is not Jonathan Garibay in here to push Lareem to the point of being the kicker for the regular season. Do you agree with that? Or are you just completely bothered by Brett Maher's presence? You wish him no good or happiness throughout his life.
Oh my goodness. Okay, that's a little deep. Like, I wish the man some happiness, but not with the Cowboys. And I just want to point out something that nobody has pointed out yet, and that's the fact that he was cut from the Saints because of an injury. So when you bring that aspect into it, hey, I'm not team anybody that's coming back from an injury the season after, right? Unless it's Dak Prescott, then that's a different story. But when it comes to Brett Maher specifically, the kicking situation, I'm not going to take a washed up player with a previous injury from the season before when you have a younger guy that, yeah, you know what, isn't the best. We have seen Lerum improve the last couple of days at practice, according to everybody that's been in Oxnard. But really, when you look at the chances that both of them are giving us, it's about the same thing. And to me, Brett Maher just kind of has a curse. I am a very traditional Cowboys fan. When I think of a curse, I think of Brett Maher, and I don't want anything to do with him being around us. You know, I don't think, and the thing is I don't think it was a bad move overall to do what they did with bringing in the four kickers, Brett Maher being one of them. However, my issue is this should have not been an issue this far in, and it should have been addressed so far back that we shouldn't even be here. We shouldn't even be discussing Brett Maher because we shouldn't even have been here to begin with. But I do wish him happiness. I just wish Lerum Hirilahu a little bit more happiness and all the success going forward.
First, Brett bring the curse, Maher. So we'll see. Brett comes in, by the way, takes Amari Cooper's number and just feels guilt about it whatsoever. So pretty selfish move. Okay, that was the news du jour of the day. Time to get into our bigger topic to your roundtable. Brandon, just so you know, I award bravery award stepping over your fellow competitors. So this is a free-for-all discussion and sort of poker breaking the pool stick. You know, we have a open kind of environment. So that being said, the main subject, MVP so far, if I could get that to stick. Let us know who your MVP is and why. Wow.
You, sorry, you're cutting out. You're talking to me?
I wasn't talking to anybody. I guess I was cutting out, which kind of ruined the like setup. I was saying that anybody who wants this question can take it. Who is their training? Who's your training camp MVP and why to this point?
I'll go first then. My MVP
all
is
right, three
somebody.
Points. That, 3 points for stepping out, Tony. All right, let's go. Let's
part. So, I heard all the.
Jalen Tolbert has just had a tremendous, tremendous camp thus far. He looks like a part of number three.
I think we might have a little bit of an internet lag issue. So, Tony, let's go. You first, and then Brandon, you follow up. But, Tony, you were saying, I think your training camp MVP is the cover of our roundtable in Dennis Houston.
Yeah, so that's exactly right. And for him at the beginning, I kind of doubted you know, especially when the James Washington injury happened. You know, I should have listened to the people we know and trust that are in the at the camp and said that, you know, Dak Prescott is a fan of Dennis Houston. He is somebody that is picking up this offense and really gaining the trust of QB1. And I kind of just took that as a little bit of training camp talk. And, you know, everybody has like a star in camp. And I really didn't think too much of it. But the more people we talked to, we had Sean McEwen on the show when he mentioned Dennis Houston first as somebody that's really had a good camp. And when you start to kind of dive into it a little bit more and you see the reps he's getting and the first team he's working with and, you know, in the absence of Michael Gallup and these guys, it's got to be Dennis Houston. I think as a guy that, you know, undrafted, somebody who people were a little bit excited about, but, you know, obviously the expectations are hampered when you're coming in at that level and that opportunity. But I think the Cowboys have found something here. I'm really intrigued to see what Saturday night looks like for him. But I gotta be there and say that Dennis Houston is my MVP so far.
Now, I will say that two of you chose Dennis Houston. I won't out the other person, but we know it's not Brandon. And so it's up to, you know, process of elimination here. But you all chose wide receivers, interestingly. Now, none of you chose the players who our commenters are suggesting. So first of all, J-Dog offers up Simi Fehoko. Simi's had a great camp, obviously entering his second season. A lot of people were maybe kind of wondering if his roster spot was in jeopardy, so we'll come back. Johnny Mingo offers up Noah Brown. I Believe Blue 365 says, I hope Noah gets his chance. He's balling this camp. So again, for all those who are watching live, you can be mad at all these people because they did not choose Simi or Noah Brown, but they did choose wide receivers nonetheless. So Brandon, you're up next. We know it was not Dennis Houston, so tell us why Jalen Tolbert, a bit of an underrated name, I think, as training camp MVP, but what's your stance?
I mean, Jalen Tolbert has shown the reason why Dallas considered him to be a second-round pick initially by some reports and was obviously drafted in the third round. He has the talent. He's got the skill. He's 6'1", about 200 pounds. He put eight numbers at South Alabama. I mean, his last was 1,500 yards, eight touchdowns, and 18 yards per catch. So he was a game stretcher. He was a game breaker, and he just looked great in camp. I mean, I saw the videos online, and he's got a great connection with Dak. And honestly, even when James Washington was in play, I still was more or in the Tolbert camp. Anyways, I just felt like if Washington was going to peak, he was already going to peak with the Steelers, you know, within the first, the first half of the season. So I think Tolbert will be a great number two for Dallas. And I think he's going to be a very surprising pick. For betting purposes and, you know, just for fun, there's a betting favorite for offensive rookie of the year, which I saw that stat. That was pretty interesting. So Jalen Tolbert will end up being the receiver three by season's end, but the receiving situation is not as bad as people think it is. It's not, you know, we don't need to get an Odell Beckham Jr. Plus he's not going to be ready until half the season anyways. I mean, would you pay up for a guy like Will Fuller? I certainly wouldn't. So I think a guy like Jalen Tolbert is the perfect guy to I would say so far is the MVP.
So we heard most of that, Brandon. Again, a little bit of a internet issue there, I think. It sounded like you said you were in love with the idea of Odell Beckham Jr. and that you would pay an enormous amount of money for Will Fuller. That was what we heard there at the very end. But I do think Jalen Tolbert is a good answer in one respect. Hourglass 420 chimes in and says Tolbert season. For what it's worth, Troy Dudley comes in saying Noah has been my camp MVP so far. Somebody who has a particular taste for one of Earth's natural elements says, "What up, Troy?" So I don't know what Troy is being referenced here. Maybe it is the Troy Dudley. It's maybe involved here. Okay, so we have one vote for Dennis Houston, one vote for Jalen Tolbert. I mentioned one other person here has Dennis Houston. So Howman, I mean, it's going to be difficult, I think, for you to out shine, Tony, but go ahead. Why is Dennis Houston your MVP, and can you make a better argument than Tony did to therefore earn more points than he did? It's not hard, but it's not easy either.
Well, I think, you know, the impressive thing for Dennis Houston, as Tony said, is that he's already got such a great chemistry with Dak Prescott, and he's, you know, essentially come out of nowhere. I don't think that too many people were saying that he was going to be one of the undrafted free agents with a good shot to actually make the roster. And now it seems like he might have the best shot, certainly of the undrafted receivers that we have. So I think part of it shows just how good Dennis Houston is and how well he just fits with what Dak Prescott wants to do. But also, as everyone was talking, we were thinking about all these receivers that have performed so well, Noah Brown, Simi Fehoko, Jalen Tolbert, and Dennis Houston. It just makes me wonder, too, how much of this also comes back to Dak Prescott just being that good of a quarterback. And I know we love to talk about Dak. We love to pump him up. But, you know, he's had some pretty good receivers so far in his career. He started out with Dez Bryant. They traded for Amari Cooper. CeeDee Lamb fell to them in the first round. And now he's got a bunch of guys that a few weeks ago we were really worried about. And now they're all making highlight catches in training camp. And I just wonder, some of that responsibility comes back to Dak Prescott being able to connect with guys that he didn't even know a few months ago in the case of Dennis Houston.
Okay. It's kind of funny. Like, TJ Vasher, kind of for the forgotten man. Like, you know, TJ Vasher shows up, Moss is Kelvin Joseph. And it's like, this dude's making the 53. And then, like, an hour later, you know, Dennis, it's like Dennis Houston and Dak Prescott, you know, they play words with friends together. Like, you know, they're best buds, they're best pals. Like, they go way back, and that's what's propelling him and his success so far. There are a few points. Brandon is working on his internet connection. I think Alex Storm was the first person who said it in the comment. He did mention Micah Parsons, but somebody mentioned Kevontae Turpin. So Jess, before we get to you, I do think that Kevontae is in the mix a little bit and a little bit of a surprise. And maybe part of the reason he's somewhat MVP-ish, Tony, is because of the injury to James Washington. Like, that sort of opened the need for Kevontae to be a dynamic player on offense. But is it a joke to throw out Kevontae, Tony, or is it fine? Is it fair? Like, where do you stand?
I don't think it's a joke at all. I think he brings an element to this team that has been kind of lacking on the kick return and the punt return. I know the unofficial depth chart came out, and it looks like Tony Pollard and them are still kind of in that, but I think they brought Kevontae Turpin in with that being his role, you know, being that guy who can punt return, kick return, get CeeDee Lamb out of there. You know, it's one of the most dangerous plays in football, if not the most dangerous play. So we don't need our number one wide receiver out there, but Kevontae Turpin is going to be able to do some unique things for this team, whether it be jet sweeps, you know, being able to get the ball in space. So I don't think it's a stretch. I think I was a big proponent for him to, you know, be signed. And when he did, I was like, let's see what can happen here. You know, you don't want to put too much expectations on him, but I think it was a quality pick, and it's not absurd to think he might be in that running.
I do think that we're like a preseason touchdown away from the Kevontae Turpin hype, like taking off, like some sort of crazy end around, you know, moment, like national, like kind of highlight reel. We have a few weeks for that to be the case. Okay, Jess, I mentioned all of you picked wide receivers. We know that you did not pick Dennis Houston. We obviously know that you did not pick Kevontae Turpin or TJ Vasher or Jalen Tolbert. You cannot pick Michael Gallup or James Washington by virtue of the fact that they are not, you know, practicing. So your training camp MVP today is who and why?
My training camp MVP to date is CeeDee Lamb, and that's because I get the news cycle is constantly refreshing as our day goes on, right? And as camp has gone on, we're 11 days in, and we seem to have forgotten where we started before camp really kicked off, right? So as I recall, there was a lot of headlines going into camp asking if CeeDee was ready to be wide receiver one and step into really Amari's role. And so my train of thought is CeeDee has gone above and beyond in camp to not only prove to everybody else that he's ready, but to really show the improvements he's made from last year. CeeDee really worried me in the sense of being able to catch balls, and that doesn't seem like it's been an issue during this camp. And not only that, but his connection with Dak is so undeniable during camp right now. it is so exciting to see. So I know me personally, I was a little bit worried and a little bit skeptical going into training camp with how CD was going to look. And now we're 11 days in and I feel pretty good about CD. So I'm going to give him my MVP because he worked his butt off to be able to show and shine as wide receiver one. He's earned it. Just the praise he's gotten from everybody, being Jerry Jones, Mike McCarthy, Dak, Micah, everybody has praised CD saying he's ready. And if y'all haven't seen it yet, I mean, you need to go back and look at all the videos, but he's ready. And so that's why I'm giving him my MVP, because there was a lot of haters coming out of the woodworks for him. And I think he proved them all wrong just within these last 2 weeks.
You know, it's funny that you took CD Lamb, like one of the biggest pieces of low-hanging fruit, and that it was very unique. You know, everybody, I think, trying a little bit too hard to be hipster around, you know, welcome to life in 2022. I think that's well said. Halman, there has been this idea, as Brandon rejoins us, the internet gremlins trying to keep him away, but he fought his way through. Halman, do you agree that CD kind of needed to have this camp? And like, obviously, contextually, we can't totally know who CD is this season, but I mean, again, through the prism of what training camp is and can offer, do you think that we are seeing what we needed to from CD to feel, you know, to be able to sleep at night with the notion that he is the unquestioned wide receiver one on this team?
I don't know if we have. And, you know,
wow, debate, duel.
I'm ready.
I'm a big CD Lamb fan. Don't get me wrong. I think he's been really, really good so far since Dallas took him, and I still can't believe that he was actually there when their pick came up. But you know, last year we thought, based on his training camp, you know, he was mossing people left and right, and he had this incredible training camp, and we all thought, wow, CeeDee Lamb is going to just absolutely dominate the league. And he did well last year. I don't want to act as if he just completely disappeared once the regular season started, but he definitely did not dominate the way that some people thought he was going to. So when I see him with all these highlight plays looking great in training camp, and he does look great, I just have to question, how will that actually transfer over? Because it didn't quite transfer over as much last year. And we're probably just going to have to wait and see once the season actually begins.
Tony, where do you fall? Do you hate good things like Halman? And are you, you know, Santa isn't real? You tell children that left and right, or are you allowing yourself to dream a little bit?
No, I think CD Lamb is doing exactly what he needed to. I mean, I think him and Dak have had a great
rapport. Well, you didn't pick him, Tony, for your MVP. I mean, you're all, you know, what's.
I mean, I this is weird because like I kind of expected CD Lamb to take the leap. I mean, I think this is what we needed to see from CD Lamb. So maybe that's my bad for expecting it from him. My thing is they had to give to an MVP for a guy that was eighth wide receiver on the depth chart in my mind when we came into training camp, and now he's running with the ones. So for me, Dennis Houston, and you know what? Noah Brown didn't get mentioned here. He got mentioned a little bit in the comments, but I don't know if anybody's had a better camp than him. I just, you know, in that time, I was like Dennis Houston, the way he came about. But Noah Brown, man, I mean, I got to give props where it's due. So I think this wide receiver group, I mean, I don't know how it will translate to when it matters, but from being a nervous wreck about them a week and a half ago to where we are now, it's pretty impressive to see that they changed the narrative a little bit.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Last thing on the subject of MVPs, and Halman, I'll kick this to you because you kind of tugged at this thread. Kenny Petrowski says on the channel, I really hate this rhetoric about CD. How is 1,100 yards a disappointment? This kid is about to blow up. He's been awesome. On any other team, he would be a superstar. I agree with your point, Halman. I don't think that the that the season last year matched the training camp hype, because I'm with you. This was like a CD is going like God mode at camp last year, blah, blah. And you could argue that, you know, some of that was mitigated by the lack of opportunity because of the other options present in the offense. But it is a unique thing where he was highly successful, but he just has so much potential that it all wasn't fully realized. Is that the most fair way to put it?
Yeah, that's exactly the way to put it. Is he played really well. He played like, you know, definitely a top 15 receiver. I think there's argument that he's definitely in the top 10. But when I'm saying what we saw in training camp led us to believe that he was going to be in the top five conversation by the end of the year. You know, I think of like Jamar Chase and the way that his rookie season ended last year. He was just dominating left and right over the last half of the year. You know, Deebo Samuel, obviously he's unique because they changed up the way that they used him. AJ Brown in Tennessee, you know, these are guys that, like, you know that it's coming to them and they still get the ball and they still score on you. And part of it, like you said, RJ, that, you know, they wanted to get the ball to Michael Gallup. They wanted to get the ball to Amari Cooper, and they didn't really feature CD. They say they're going to do that now. We'll see how that actually works, changing up that kind of approach. But we didn't really see that happen last year, whether it was because of the way the offense runs or just because CD didn't take that leap that we all wanted him to. But he was definitely productive. I just wanted more.
Okay, that's well said. That ties a bow on our training camp MVPs so far. Howman and Tony can't think for themselves and teamed up and both went with Dennis Houston. Brandon, the internet tried to get him down, but he didn't let that get in his way, and he went Jalen Tolbert. Jess went CeeDee Lamb. So just all wide receivers. No love for any defender here, despite the fact that, you know, the defense is playing really well. Nobody had anything to say about the defensive side of the ball. Nobody cared about Dan Quinn or anything like that. But I think that conversation is going to change. A quick heads up as we segue into training camp LVPs, which is obviously least valuable players at this point. Tony is in the lead with 11 points so far. So congratulations, Tony. It's been a bit of a rocky ride for you, but you've stuck to your guns, and I respect that. We have a three-way tie for second place currently. It's obviously the other three of you. So you all have 10 points. So right behind Tony, you know, 1 point separates you all. It's still anybody's game. So that being said, who is your training camp LVP? Brandon, you tried to race out to the start on MVP, so I'll give you the floor first here because, the internet was mean. So that being said, Brandon, who is your least valuable player person? It can be a player, it can be a coach, it can be a front office executive associated with the Dallas Cowboys through 2 weeks of training camp.
Well, initially I was going to go with Jonathan Garibay, but letting him go.
All had to change it up, so go ahead. I'm sorry, but just so you know, Howman was the only one who didn't go Jonathan Garibay from the jumps.
But it was kind of obvious. I mean, Garibay, everyone expected him to just take the job and run with it. So it was like when he struggled this whole training camp, it was the easy answer. I mean, you could go with Washington at the receiving core, but can you really put it on James Washington when he's injured? I mean, I'm not going to do that. I mean, I know some people say the best ability is your availability. We've heard that a million times. But for me, I wasn't going to give on the LVP because of injury. So Garibay was my choice. So I did a quick pivot because you asked me before the show, and I was like, well, I mean, the kicking game's been awful. So for me, it was Lareem. I mean, he's, like I said earlier, he's kicking at a 75% clip, according to ESPN's Todd Archer. I saw the tweet out earlier this morning. So he increased his percentage a little bit today. I heard it looked like he did a lot better because I think he didn't miss a kick, or he missed one kick I thought I saw earlier. So he definitely, with the pressure cooker on, he definitely performed better today. But overall, he's not been very good. And if he was good enough, Ian Garibay, we wouldn't have this conversation with Brett Maher being in play. And just for the record, I meant to add a little bit earlier to the kicking controversy. I was actually pulling for Cole Murphy. Cole Murphy was a great player at Syracuse, which is where I'm from, born and raised and reside. So I was hoping Cole Murphy was going to get the nod. So I just want to put that out there. But obviously it didn't work out, and we're stuck with Maher. But Lareem is definitely the LVP. The whole kicking game has just been awful.
So That's not unfair. And I'm actually pleased to say, not only do all of you have different answers, and so the audience is aware, I did ask them ahead of time to be able to, you know, do my job effectively, but you all have different portions of the Cowboys. So there is a special teams presence, there's an offensive presence, a defensive presence, and a higher up presence. We'll leave it at that. But so Lareem is fair. I think, you know, some people probably, we have a lot of comments who are picking Jonathan Garibay, like three of you did. So you guys are just all about the low-hanging fruit. And so I'm going to give Dave Howman 5 points for not doing that yesterday when I first asked this question. So congratulations to you, Howman, for thinking outside the box. In fact, Howman, I'll go to you next. We've got Lareem Hyrulahu as an LVP so far. Who is yours and why? I actually loved this pick from you.
Well, first I'll say the reason I didn't pick Jonathan Garibay is because kickers are not valuable, as I've explained before.
Wow. Okay. Another 3 points. Let's go. Ooh. Howman is off and running.
So my pick for least valuable player was Josh Ball, who the team is kind of counting on right now to emerge as their top swing tackle, especially after Matt Waletzko got hurt. And Josh Ball, you know, he basically redshirted last year and was on the injured reserve all year, didn't play. And when he was drafted, we knew he was kind of a very raw player, definitely a developmental tackle with a lot of potential. So I was really interested in seeing where he was at this year, especially because the Cowboys didn't bring back Ty Nasecki. They didn't bring in another veteran swing tackle like they've done in recent years. So it was really going to be a battle mainly between Ball and the rookie Waletzko. And then
what a great idea that was, Howman. Just a totally stable idea.
Well, we really like our guys, so we stuck with them. And now we don't really know exactly what the timetable is for Waletzko. So at this point, it seems like the swing tackle is going to be Josh Ball's, whether or not he actually earns it. But since the pads came on, which is usually when we really start to see offensive linemen shine, he has more or less disappeared. And he was looking pretty good before then. And then once the pads came on, everyone's been saying, haven't really seen him do much. And that's really concerning when you're offensive lineman and you need that kind of physicality that comes with that portion of training camp. So we'll see what happens when preseason games actually get going and we get some live game action. But so far, it looks like the swing tackle is definitely not solved, which is a big problem when you're talking about Tyron Smith probably going to end up missing some more games because he always misses a couple games every year at least. And that could end up being something that bites them.
Tyron Smith has missed time in every single season that Dak Prescott has been the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. So kind of a big deal. Tony, you're going to go last, but I would like your thoughts here because I think Howman makes a great point. But is it fair then to say that the actual LVP is kind of like we talked about with the kicking situation, the process of how we got here? Like, is it unfair to put the blame on Josh Ball and say he's the least valuable player when, like we were talking about, the Cowboys made this bed. They went at this with their top two swing tackle options being two dudes who had never played in the NFL that, you know, had a combined 1 year experience between them that really wasn't much.
Yeah, they didn't do him any favors. You know, there isn't much of a competition when one of the guys has been injured for most of the camp. Couple that with the fact that Josh Ball had a de facto redshirt year last year. It's like, I don't know where their confidence came in. I think they were thinking about nickel and dimes more than like actual players and, you know, thinking they could save some money here by having Josh Ball and, well, let's go at it. But that's the whole thing. There isn't much of a competition. They haven't brought anybody out there and they haven't even put like Tyler Smith at tackle either. So it's like, who is he competing against? Like Aviante Collins, like, is that who he's going against? And we haven't heard a peep about him. So it's yeah, I would agree with you. They didn't put him in a position to succeed. It's not really a great situation when the guy himself has to go out there and try to push and try to impress, but you know, who is he looking back behind his shoulder? There's no one there to take his job. So it's interesting to kind of see how this is going to play out.
That was my take all day today was I actually feel really badly for Jonathan Garibay and I wish him nothing but success, but he became the face for all of this failure when it was the process of how the Cowboys got here that is really the more frustrating thing. So it just sucks. I mean, to be frank about it. So Jess, it sucks. You have to save it. We've got a special teams player here in Lareem Hyrulahu by way of Brandon. We have an offensive player in Josh Ball by way of David Howman. Who is your LVP so far throughout 2 weeks of Cowboys training camp?
You know, it's funny, RJ, is there's a comment that just popped up that said the front office should be the LVP. So I went ahead and gave my LVP award to Mr. Jerry Jones himself. And let me elaborate. That is because if you go back to the kickoff press conference, which for us is like Christmas Day, right? That first press conference when you're kicking off training camp, the tone he set for the start of this camp was horrific. It was trying to really convince all of us, like, we're good, it's gonna be okay, everything's fine. And since then, Jerry has just, I mean, look, as Cowboys fan, Jerry's not on our nice list all the time, we know that, but Jerry Jones really, really has done me in, and it hasn't even been the start of the season yet. And that was really noticeable when his interview about the kicking situation came out, and he said, no, I'm not worried about it, it's fine. No, Jerry, it was not fine. It hasn't been fine. And for you to even imply that it was anywhere near fine is an issue to me. And again, as Cowboys fans, we are so used to this, it's almost sad. But now we're in this kicking situation where, you know, we just went all over this. We know what we're doing, what we're dealing with. But I gave Jerry mine because I'm really upset with the controversy that man has caused in the last 11 days alone. And let me get my Cowboys anxiety out at the start of the season, Jerry. Don't do it to me now because it's already bad enough when the season starts in around 30 days. So, yeah, I gave mine to Jerry. And honorable mention, Steven. There you go. I'll give the fans what they want. I'm just not happy with the Cowboys front office. I'm really not. And I think a lot of the frustration is rolling over from last season and how it ended. I'm still a little bitter. I'm still a little bitter, guys. That might be it. But I gave mine to Jerry.
AJ, you know, just so everybody else knows, thinks that Jess has won the round table already. So, you know, a lot of work to be done, seemingly. There were a lot of people noting that Steven Jones should be criticized here, too. I agree with you, Jess, and I'm curious for everybody's thoughts on this subject. Jerry was on NFL Network yesterday, on Monday. He walks up to Rhett Lewis and Brian Baldinger, I think it was Tom Pelissero, and just like starts telling a story about Michael Irvin. It's like, that's all you got, man. Like, all you can do is like just, you know, make a comparison and tell some funny story about, you know, life from 30 years ago and get everybody all jazzed up about it. Because if you talk about the present day, it's nothing but frustration. Howman, he's, you know, there were a lot of people who, when the season ended and Jerry went on 105 through the Fan, it was all pissed off, that said, oh my gosh, watch out, Jerry's coming in Ari Gold style with a blowtorch or whatever. I know Tony can tell me it was a paintball gun, and taking names. That didn't happen, Howman. Like, it does feel like Jerry's words are falling on deaf ears at this point.
Yeah, I mean, his words definitely are, it's gotten stale at this point. And the only way that it's going to change is if they actually produce in the playoffs. But I've definitely been frustrated with this front office and their conservative approach in the offseason before, and I'm not going to act as if that's not well placed. But I do have a little bit of a hard time saying that they're necessarily the least valuable, just because at this point, we know what to expect, and there is something to be said for the players actually showing up and doing their jobs. There's something to be said for Jonathan Garibay showing up and hitting his kicks. And he was a good kicker in college, too. It's not like he was just some guy that they brought in off the street. Josh Ball was a productive tackle at Marshall, and so far he's come in, and he's not earned that. And, you know, Tony was saying, like, he doesn't really have any competition looking over his shoulder. Well, today he found out from Jonathan Garibay, the competition is out there. They're just waiting. If you don't go out and take it, you still have to go out and take it. So I still think at the end of the day, it's up to the players to go out and do their job, whether or not the front office is going to take the right approach.
I like that answer, Howman, in that, like, it kind of is what it is. Like, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's Steven Jones and Jerry Jones, you know, just kind of doing their thing. Brandon, before we kick it to Tony, do you think that the criticism is fair for Jerry and Steven? Or maybe do you agree that it's fair, but kind of like Howman, but it's just, it exists. And we can't get mad about gravity being 9.81 meters per second squared at this point. It's just the world that we live in.
It's the world we live in. Howman's right. It's just the world we live in. You also got to remember, too, all these big contracts that Jerry has given to our top guys like Dak and Tank, you got these void years in there as well, which they're going to come due in the next couple of years. So you got to have some money left over for salary cap purposes going down the line. I'm not expecting them to leave $20 million or so on the table, but you might want to leave a few bucks left to roll over for next year. That's, I mean, that's a juggling act. And I think the problem with Jerry Jones is, and the Jones family, the front office, the whole Dak Prescott thing was always, it was handled very poorly. At one point, you probably could have gotten him for $35 million versus $40 million a year. So, you know, I support Jerry Jones. I love what he does for the Cowboys brand. I mean, and that's a huge thing for me. But from a front office perspective, I think it should just be personnel decisions because he knows what he's talking about.
Well said. Okay, Tony, let's get to your LVP. I know you've been waiting and I gave you 5 points for patience because I know that all of the commenters basically have agreed with your pick. You're the only person who picked Kelvin Joseph, the only player that was picked on the defensive side of the ball. Why is Kelvin Joseph your LVP through 2 weeks of Cowboys camp?
I think it's because what people expected or hoped from him. Coming into the camp, I thought the perfect scenario was for him to win a job on the outside, to be opposite of Trayvon Diggs, and allow Anthony Brown to kick inside. I think that would have been, in a perfect world, a really strong 1, 2, and 3 cornerback situation. Now we're looking at a situation where he might not even be the best cornerback in his draft class. And there's a real conceivable chance that he might be the 5th cornerback on the depth chart right now, speaking about Nashawn Wright. Now, it's not his fault that Anthony Brown is, you know, probably having one of the best camps on the team right now.
Nobody picked Anthony, by the way, for MVP. Shame on all of you, but go ahead, Tony.
I did my my
his name is Anthony. That's picking, your name. Right, how could I mean,
and I've been going to bat for the guy for about a year and a half now. So, but yeah, so for me, Kelvin Joseph was my LVP. I'm not even talking about the stuff that led up to the season, off the season. But you know, it's been frustrating because you see him getting a lot of special teams reps. They're not even talking about him really in a contributor of the cornerback position right now at this time. You're seeing people heap praise on Nashawn Wright, which is I'm happy to see it. I'm happy to see him take that next leap. But I really think, and I think I'm not alone in the fact that a lot of people expected Kelvin Joseph to go out there and be what he kind of showed flashes of against the Cardinals last year. And we just haven't heard of him in that light. I know that today was his first chance with Trayvon Diggs getting some rest to really kind of go out there and make a mark. But we've seen this story before. We've seen guys kind of fall out of favor. We've seen guys kind of fade to black a little bit. And I would hate to see that be this guy because I think he is super talented. I think if his head is on straight, I think if he's in the playbook and he can do the right things, the talent should be able to take him to be a starter on this team. And it just, we haven't seen it. We haven't seen it yet. And it's just super frustrating. So for me, it was an easy LVP pick.
Fade to Black, also a great song by Amy Winehouse. I think that's really well said, Tony. And of all of your picks, Jess, you obviously picked Jerry, so a little bit of a unique thing there. But Brandon, you picked Lareem, who, you know, not exactly high level of investment. Howman, you picked Josh Ball, 4th-round pick. But Kelvin Joseph, your 2nd-round pick, year 2. Like, this is supposed to click by now. Like, you're over here, to your credit, Howman, like, banging on Josh Ball. Like, hey, man, like, this position needs you. And I think that, you know, just because the cornerback, you know, we've talked so much about how the depth there is really prominent and maybe as strong as it's been in recent years, that doesn't excuse Kelvin Joseph or mitigate the fact that he is the LVP, because there is this high level of responsibility being placed on him, or at least there was. And if the other players weren't, you know, up to snuff, so to speak, right now we'd be sitting here saying, what happened here? They made this bet on Kelvin Joseph and it's not working out. I mean, it's year 2, and that doesn't even factor in all of the offseason or off the field things that plagued him entering. I mean, there's nothing about Kelvin Joseph right now that is worthy of praise. By the way, Carlos brought up in the comment section that Fade to Black is Metallica. It is, but it's also an Amy Winehouse song. Like, sometimes artists repeat track names. Like, I'm, you know, whatever. That's where my mind went. I mean, I recognize that a lot of people go to Metallica first. Okay, who agreed or disagreed with somebody the most? I'm curious. Out of all the MVPs and LVPs that we discussed. Again, points are up for grabs here.
I agreed with Tony the most, and I was actually with his pick for LVP. I was actually going between Josh Ball and Kelvin Joseph because, you know, I was really hoping to see Kelvin Joseph take that next step, especially because he just had these off the field issues this past year. This was the perfect opportunity for him to come in and just absolutely double down and prove, like, I have that talent, I'm locked in, and he just really hasn't. It's not that he's necessarily been bad. He just hasn't shown anything. When we've got Anthony Brown and Jordan Lewis both having great camps and holding off both him and Wright, Wright's doing great. Even Deron Bland, who we haven't really talked too much about, but he's been playing really well. He's looked solid when he's been on the field. And Kelvin is, you know, he has the highest expectations, I feel like, and he just has not lived up to them yet.
That's well said. Okay, one last question around the horn. So everybody knows Tony has a pretty commanding lead. So you never know. That being said, last question, and it's a general thing. It can be as small or as big as you want. Brandon, we'll start with you. We'll go in counterclockwise order with you. What one thing do you want or need to see on Saturday night against the Denver Broncos?
I just want to see the receivers play well. I want to see all this young talent. See the Dennis Houstons of the world play well. TJ Vasher, I want to see him play well. That's where I go. I'm not concerned about the defense because we already know the defense looks pretty. I just want to see the receivers show out a little bit. It'll be fun to watch. And I'm curious to see which receiver performs the best out of that group that is fringe roster worthy at this point. That's going to be the thing to watch this weekend.
Okay, that's fair. A lot of people saying no injuries too. That's too low hanging for guys. We're not going there. So nobody can say no injuries. We all agree with that. Jess, what one? And you can't copy anybody else's answer. So Brandon has taken wide receiver production. What do you want to see on Saturday night?
Okay, so I'm going to bounce off of Brandon. I'm not going to copy him, but the, take a shot game of all of the press conferences that I have listened to this entire training camp has been opportunities, right? If you take a shot anytime you hear the word opportunities in a press conference for the Cowboys, make sure you're not doing it at work, but be a pretty fun drinking game. But seeing the young guys really step up and take the opportunity, yes. But I'm going to be basic, and I'm going to say the kickers, because why are we not going to watch the kicking situation? Who's going to make the field goals? What we're going to be expecting? And a little hint for my podcast tomorrow, I talk about this. I think the kicking position is really so up for grabs that any little mistake, any little slip up is going to cost somebody a job. So I think it's up for grabs. I think it's pretty open and pretty equal. And I think any little thing could end up being the deciding factor when it comes to that starting kicking position. So I'm the go kickers. I want to see what you're going to show me. I want Brett Maher to prove me so wrong. But also I kind of don't, so he can leave again. But that's just me. So I'm going to go with kickers.
I will say, not to be fooled. Not you specifically, Jess, but not to be fooled. They're kicking in Denver. They're kicking in high out. Like somebody is going to be like, holy crap, Brett Maher just made a 69-yard field goal. Nice, blah, blah, blah. And they're going to be like, this guy has to be around. No, this is Denver. Like, you cannot fall in love. This is a night at the Roxbury sort of thing. Like, do not, you know, let Saturday night completely and totally influence you. Tony, our current leader... did you have a follow-up, Jess? Did I not give you that?
I just think it's going to be something we continue to follow, not just during this game, but for really the rest of this preseason time. So I agree.
Totally. Okay. Tony, you can really only hurt yourself here. So be careful. What one thing do you want to see Saturday night?
I want to see what kind of quality of play the offensive line could have, right? We're trying to figure out in this camp. Now we have our reservations about the talent of this offensive line. We just don't know if it's devoid of it or my question is this defensive line really as good as, you know, they think that it can be? Because you see a lot of times Dak Prescott,
you got to pick one thing, Tony, don't ruin this. You're on thin ice.
I'm picking the offensive line. I want to see the offensive line play. I want to see how Tyler Smith does out there. I want to see Connor McGovern, if there's been some development. I want to see Josh Ball in his first live action. There's guys out there that I really are interested to see what's going to happen. I want to see if Tyler Biadasz has been able to improve against somebody other than Osa or, you know, Tristan Hill. I just want to see if this offensive line has improved, because right now, I mean, myself included with a lot of other people are very nervous the way this offensive line has gone against our D line. And is that more indicative of how good the defensive line is, Micah Parsons to Marcus Lawrence, or is this offensive line going to be as big of a problem as we think it is?
Okay, that's well said. Halman, bring us home. We've covered wide receiver play. We've covered the kicking department, which is pretty self-explanatory, and we've covered Tony through a wide net, just offensive line. So where do you want to go, Halman?
The thing that I'll be looking for most is the team's level of discipline. And, you know, last year, they were a heavily penalized team, and Mike McCarthy has harped on it a lot because his Packers teams generally were not heavily penalized teams. And that's not something that he's used to, and it's hurt them a lot. And you know, that's become an old adage for Cowboys fans. Great play, oh, but it's undone because there was a hold or because Randy Gregory tackled somebody with their jersey. So they've really focused on it a lot this offseason, especially in training camp, and preseason is their first real live game action. You never really know how tough the referees are going to be in a preseason game, but it's at least something that's going to give them actual experience. Earlier today, we had our first real skirmish of practice. So you can tell that the intensity is definitely getting there for some of these players. They're ready to hit someone other than each other. And I'm really curious to see how that plays out when they actually get to it. Is it intensity within the confines of the game, or does it go beyond the whistle to where it actually hurts them? Or when it comes to holding or other just silly mistakes, are they disciplined in their technique? Because that will, you know, we can talk about, you know, kicking, we can talk about receivers, but if they keep shooting themselves in the foot with penalties, none of the other stuff is going to matter.
Very, very well said. I don't believe Randy Gregory will be a participant in the joint practices, which would have been fun, at least for us. I don't think there would have been any drama. But Mike McCarthy did say, Halman, that he did not, or that the Cowboys are not going to Denver to fight. We'll see about that. It's time for the results. We did have two new players for the very first time. So let's just get to it. Let's just, you know, go in ascending order. We had a tie for third place, and it's worth mentioning that David Halman is our reigning BTB Roundtable champion. He will not go back-to-back. He was tied with Brandon, 24 points tonight, so you two have to split the bronze medal. I don't know if you want to go, like, purely down the half or, like, the jagged thing so you can put it together, like the little heart necklaces when you're 6 years old, when you're best friends. That's up to you guys. Congratulations to you both on a share of bronze. Second place, silver medalist. Jess, great performance all the way around, but you were met with some consternation for Jerry. You know, this is ultimately a court of public opinion, and I exist to just kind of, you know, ride the wave and be a voice of the commenters. And so everybody thought that you let Steven off the hook, so maybe next time just, you know, go for the jugular there. But congratulations on your silver medal second place performance. That means Tony Catalina is our champion for the first time in this iteration of the Blog and the Boys Roundtable. Tony, you squeaked it out. I mean, the end, you almost fumbled the bag, I'm being honest with you. Jess had 27 points, you had 28. I had to dock you for going back and forth from the, you know, offensive line, defensive line. You couldn't make up your mind. But it is your prize, gold medal. Tony, how do you feel? Who do you want to thank? It's up to you, dude.
You remember when LeBron James won his first one? What did he say? About damn time. You know? So
I don't think anybody remembers that. I think people remember the Cleveland, this is for you. So they remember the third one more than they do the first one. So
fair enough. Fair enough. But no, it feels good. You know, I've been on here enough times. I had to get one, I think, just by virtue of numbers here.
Halman, do you feel like maybe you should have won? You guys had a lot of the same thoughts, you and Tony. In fact, you said that you almost went Kelvin Joseph for your LVP. Had you done so, you and Tony would have had identical results, and maybe you would have repeated tonight.
I mean, I take it as a tip of the cap that we're on the same wavelength, and he won. I won last week. I think it's a good sign.
Brandon, a share of third for your first round table. Do you feel like you were robbed? Do you feel like the judging was improper? Remember, you will be on future round tables, so, like, just be cool. But what, you know, what is your thought process there?
I mean, I'm happy we're getting third place just because of my internet issues. That was crazy. I was not expecting to have the internet issues today. But I got to give Tony some credit, though. He didn't Leon let the ball, so that was good. So congrats to Tony on that.
Jess, you are on the podcast network a lot, so people get to hear your voice all throughout the week. Do you think that anybody will hold a grudge that, you know, the person who starts their day off didn't get the gold, or do you feel like they'll feel it was a fair process? Like, you know, you're speaking on behalf of your people now.
You know, I feel like they weren't going to hold a grudge until you said that, but if they are, I'm so sorry, and I hope y'all tune in bright and early because I have plenty of good stuff coming in. And if you're holding a grudge, just know there's plenty more Jerry and Stephen hate you'll get eventually, guys. It doesn't end just there.
That's very well said. Tony, congratulations. Biggest honor. And I know you got married a few months ago, but like that means nothing compared to this. We don't give you any jewelry for this, but it is still a bigger deal. Tony, since you are our roundtable MVP, give us it can't be a word or a normal sound. Give us a random noise that no human being has ever heard before for us to sign off.
Yeah.